Welcome to The Review with Joy & Company, featuring conversations with best-selling authors and hot reviews with the authors you choose. We're inspiring the world through Christian literature. Stay tuned in. We'd like to know, what are you reading?
Well, that has certainly become my favorite question. Welcome back to The Review with Joy & Company. I'm Joy, and as always, I am delighted to be in the midst of your company. I told you in that first hour we were stepping into the deep. Well, I tell you what, don't relax now because it's about to get hot in here. Up this second hour, we're visiting with absolutely one of my favorite, I mean, she's in my favorite five. I got to give it to her, authors. We're visiting this hour with Regina Stone Matthews, and she's done a twist on her writing. So just in a few minutes, we'll get into that. Actually, we'll jump into that. But first, let's say hello to our co-host, Rose Lewis.
Good evening, everyone.
And Rosemary LeGrand.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Anyone seen my rose-colored glasses? God's Word in Everyday Life. That's the title of our featured book this hour. As I mentioned, we're visiting with Regina Stone Matthews. For many years, she has been one of our favorite youth and young adult and or children's authors. And today she comes to us to discuss her debut of adult material. Regina Stone Matthews is an award-winning children's book author, making this her first book geared toward adults. She was born in Columbia, South Carolina. She and her husband have three daughters and four grandchildren. She attended high school and college in Georgia. She is a member of several writing and storytelling organizations. You can learn more about Regina and her books by visiting her website at reginamatthews.com. And that Matthews does have an S on it. We know about that, right? Yes. I'm sorry?
And it has two T's in it.
It has two T's in it. Regina, as always, it gives me great pleasure to say welcome to The Review.
Thank you so much. You know how much I love being with you, darling.
Thank you.
Well,
ditto, ditto, ditto. We love being in the presence of your company. Well, tell us about, has anyone seen my rose-colored glasses?
Well, this book started in 2009.
Ooh.
That's how long it has been since I have been working on this book. I was sitting in the doctor's office.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading an article that this guy had written, and it was about the Bible. And it was his perception that the Bible was kind of antiquated.
Mm.
That it did not fit in today, that it did not speak to issues of today, that it in no way could be applied to your everyday life because of how long ago it was written. And so I'm reading this, and I'm getting crankier and crankier while I'm reading this. And so I'm thinking, and the Lord said, prove him wrong.
Mm.
Prove him wrong.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. So I go home, and I'm sitting in front of my computer, and it's just this blank screen, as is my brain at times. And it is just blank. And so I'm thinking, what could I possibly write about that I could show that the Bible speaks to? And the first thing that came to mind was teachers. My daughter's a teacher. My mother was a teacher. My father was a teacher. My mother-in-law was a teacher. My brother-in-law is a teacher. So I start writing, and I write about my senior English lit teacher, Miss Onice Fields.
Yes.
And I called that story, Miss Fields was a tough old bird. And she was, and she still is. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to write about Miss Fields. So all the you Therrellites out there, if you're listening, who had Miss Fields, we all knew that Miss Fields was the hardest teacher on the face of the earth. And so I started writing about her, And I brought my cheat sheet here because I started doing some research about, so what does the Bible say about teachers? And it talks about teachers in Deuteronomy, talks about teachers in Proverbs, talks about teachers in Titus, talks about teachers in Mark. And so I'm thinking, so there it is. It's telling us in Deuteronomy to teach our children, to speak to our children, to talk to our children. Proverbs tells us to bring up our children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will never depart from it. Titus tells us to set an example, and Miss Fields did all of these things.
Yes.
And so I thought, there's my first story. So then I said, okay, I wonder what else the Bible speaks to. And I started thinking about pets. And the Bible does talk to us about pets, whether we know that or not, but it does. And so I wrote, I never did like dogs anyway. And that's one of the other stories about our family dog, our beloved Butkus. And the Bible tells us that we should care for our animals and that we should take care of them and that we should learn from them, because we learn from the earth and we learn from our animals, because our animals, they know that the Lord created everything. So then I talk about friends, and I find in the Bible what it says about friends. And then I thought, okay, here's a challenge, Lord. Let's talk about my role and my life as the toilet paper changer.
I bet Rose will have some comments on that.
Yes. Yes. And let me tell you that the Bible does, in fact, speak to that, because we do things in our life for our family out of love. And the Bible is all about love and talks about love. And so that's what started Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses. And I just kept going and going and going from that. So some of the stories are funny.
Yes.
And some of them are not. Some mm-hmm. of them were very, very difficult to write. Ella was exceptionally difficult to write. That was about my grandmother.
Yes.
Anticipating Emma was very hard.
I'm sure.
And mm-hmm. I never knew Tyler.
Yes.
It was very hard.
Yes.
The Bible speaks to these things, and no matter what's going on in our life, we can turn to the Bible, and it's going to be there.
You know, as I read, I never knew Tyler, I sensed that there was a lot more healing going on within you, even as you were writing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that was a difficult chapter.
It was really, because, you know, I was getting on a plane to go see my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
came.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, Ella was really, really hard too, because, and I'm going to go back to Miss Fields.
Okay. Yes, I loved her.
Miss Fields. Well, when I started writing about Miss Fields, I really didn't even know if she was still alive. So I put a post out on Facebook and I said, "Does anybody know if Miss Fields is still with us?" And within minutes, someone said, "Oh, is she ever?"
Oh, my goodness.
They said she has been to several of our events, and she comes driving up in her red convertible, and
what?
She is exactly the way she was when we were all in high school. So it was absolutely wonderful. So I connected with Miss Fields. She remembered me. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, but she remembered me, and we chatted, and we got to re-know each other and became real good friends. And I told her what I was doing, that I was writing. And I told her I had written a bunch of stories. She says, "I want to see those stories." And so I sent them to her, and I sent a box of red pens as a joke. And I said, "So feel free to just write whatever you want."
Uh-huh.
So she did. And she sent them back.
Oh, my goodness.
And the box was empty. Oh. And she said, "I ran out of red pens." And I could just see her and hear her saying all of this. So anyway, we started communicating. And one day I sent her a note, and she didn't respond. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So finally she did. And she told me that she had been very, very distressed and saddened because her niece, and they were very close, had committed suicide.
Oh.
And it just absolutely, she said, it just has devastated me.
Yes.
She says, "I want you to write about this." And I was like, Miss Fields. And she says, no, I want you to write about it. And I didn't know what to do because I did not know her. I did not know the young woman who had died. I knew nothing about her. And so I thought, I don't know what to write. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the Lord said, Ella, write about your grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And I will tell you, it was very raw. It was very raw. It was a lot of pain and crying and hate and anger. And so when I sent it to her, I'm thinking, this woman is going to have me clubbed to death. She is going to get so angry with me for what I've written. And so I sent it to her, and she wrote me back, and she said, thank you so much. She said, I thought I was the only person that felt this way.
Oh, wow.
And so Ella has been edited and edited and edited. And I fought for Ella to be in this book because it was raw at the beginning. And I did a lot of praying about it, and I have softened it some, but it's still what it does to your family and what it does. And I saw what it did to my dad. So Ella was one of
difficult.
Those things.
Yeah. And you know what? We all have those challenges. I think that is the marvelous thing about your book, Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses, is that you go through a gambit of emotions, different things, and they're not all tragedies.
Right.
You know, there's some things that will really make you laugh. I know Rose was left in hysterics on one, right? I'm going to let her go there. I'm not going to steal thunder.
We had a little small laugh today. She sent me a message today and told me she was looking forward to being with us. And I say, yes, I understand being the toilet roll paper.
Absolutely.
Yes, and I can't stand it. I can't stand it. You know you got to go to the bathroom, too.
That's true.
Why don't you take Tisha with you?
Exactly.
Why are you hollering for me?
Do you hear that? And they still do it. They come to my house and do it.
Yes. But no, have someone live with you, and they don't even think they should purchase it.
There you go.
That's the one that gets me.
I know.
Don't purchase it, but you use it.
You use it.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
That's where your love
comes. Oh, my. Your stories will touch everybody in their household, in their homes. So many of them, I actually have an example to just go with them. You know what I'm saying? But it was great, and I loved the Mrs. Field story because I have a Mrs. Field in my life, an English teacher, and her name is not Fields, but she was that hardcore, nobody wanted to be in her class, but she is one of the teachers, and she was like sixth grade teacher for me, but I still remember her to this day. She was very hard, but I've developed a love for English literature, particularly, and writing from that teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
That's where I got it. Was
yes.
She
yes.
was the best mentor. And being a senior English lit teacher, if you took Miss Field's class and you failed it, you didn't graduate.
Yeah.
But everyone wanted her. And it was because she defined teacher.
Yes.
And it wasn't what she did. It's what she was.
Who she was.
It's who she was.
Yes.
We knew that she was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no problem telling you that.
Yes.
And so it was just, you know, it was just wonderful to be with her and to have her. And I know all the people that I went to high school with that had Miss Fields, they are the best.
Yes. You know, and I thought that was an amazing tribute to her, that story, because we came through high school at a time where Christianity had just been removed from the schools, and so it was really taboo for you to talk about Christianity, right. You know, but she was this bold figure that knew that she had a role to make an impact on students.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just, you know, so thrilled to hear you talk about sending her those red markers.
That was so funny.
And she said she used them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I do believe that she was pulling your leg because I've read many of your books. And you're one author that by the time your book gets on our table, we don't even need our whole hand to count errors. You know, we're looking for them because they literally are not there. You are a very well seasoned, established author. And I love reading your work.
I have good editors.
Yes, I love your work.
You know, I identified with the toilet pipe. But I really, what struck my nerve, and I opened the book to it immediately today, is lies and the truth.
Oh.
I hate lies.
Mm.
I cannot stand lies.
You
can almost do anything to me, but when you lie to me, it's like you have ripped my heart into shreds.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the lies and truth and share a little bit about your children.
Dare to tell the truth about my three girls. Are y'all listening, darlings? In Dare to Tell the Truth is a story about my three girls and the fact that in our house when we were bringing up these little munchkins, they knew the penalty for lying, you know. They were all just knew when mom got serious and businesslike and quiet,
mm-hmm.
they better just start writing their will because it was over. So my oldest daughter, she just didn't tell lies well. She just didn't. And she would tell a lie and just never think it to the end. So the story in there is about her and how she got caught in a lie. Now, do you want me to share this or you want people to read about this?
It's up to you.
Well, I'll give you a little bit. So Sandy loved chocolate, and she still does. And so every Saturday, since David and I both worked, I would try to do something fun with them or do something for them. And so I was getting ready to bake some cookies, some chocolate chip cookies. And I go to the refrigerator to find the chocolate chips, and, of course, they're not there. But I knew who took them. And so from that point on, the story is about how Sandy got caught with that. And her favorite line, Mom, I know in my heart telling the truth. So when she said that, you knew she was lying. Now, our middle daughter, Noelle, Noelle was a master. Noelle, if you didn't listen to that child and question that child, you would get caught up in this lie. And so she told a whopper one time about her glasses, and she got caught, but it took a while, and it was embarrassing, to say the least. And so, but I don't think she ever told a lie like that ever again after that. And then our youngest, Ashley, she saw what happened to the other two, and Ashley, but it didn't mean she didn't lie. Because kids just lie. They just do. They're dirty, rotten liars, and that's just how it is. I'm sorry.
But and she does write.
She writes children's books, believe me.
So Ashley saw what happened to the other two, and she would tell a lie, and we would say, Ashley, are you lying? And she'd say, yep. So that was it. She just, you know, and you have to still punish it. You still have to. But that is Dare to Tell the Truth.
True, yes.
I think you're right about that. Kids do that. It's like a rite of passage for them.
Is.
You know, I have one niece who, even growing up, she would never lie. And then 9 years later, this niece got a little sister. So I was keeping them, and they're 9 years apart. And they had done something, and the younger sister... And I'll just say it because this is Aaron and Jasmine, you guys. So, so Aaron was very mischievous and always getting into something. And the the older sister, Jasmine, she walked a straight line, you know, and she would, even if it meant catching a whipping, she would tell the truth. So Erin did something, I don't even remember what it was, when they were together, and she knew she wasn't supposed to do it, so she commenced to bribing Jasmine so that she wouldn't tell their parents, because she knew it was going to warrant getting a whipping, right? And so Jasmine just wouldn't hear it. So she ends up calling me and telling me what she did, and says, and you know Jasmine is going to tell, so tell her, Aunt Joy, not to tell. And I'm like, but Erin, you're lying. You want your sister to lie. Yes, I don't want to catch a whipping and tell her that everybody has to lie sometime.
I love it.
It was just so funny. It was the hardest thing to get her to see that, you know, well, let's not lie our way out of this one.
You know, when you're talking about lies, and my daughter's listening, she's going to remember this. She wasn't going to lie to me. She had got in trouble at school, and they had written a note at home, and she was to get me to sign it. So if the teacher asked her, did you give it to your mother, her answer was going to be, yes, I did. I was going to rent a car, and I was digging in my purse looking for something. I see this paper all folded up, and I'm like, what is this? And I open it up, and it's the note from the teacher that she has buried in my purse. But to her, she had given it to me. She had given it to me, although I had never seen it until I ran across it.
Yeah, she and Noelle are related.
Yes, I believe they are. But the thing about it, she will to this day let you know that hiding that note did not stop punishment.
That's right.
I ran her around the whole classroom in the school till the teacher said, that's enough, Miss Lewis, that's enough.
Well, as you can tell, we are visiting with one of our favorite girls, Regina Mathis. We're talking about her book, Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses? God's Word and Everyday Life. And you can visit us on the web at joyandcompany.org to get a copy of Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses. I tell you, in the first hour, we had a few announcements that we kind of let slide by because we were just in such a heavy conversation. But unfortunately, we do have to make time for those special announcements in this hour. We'll get back to Regina's stories and Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses in just a few. But give Rose your ear for a moment.
Before I go to the announcement, Jana says, I knew you were going to tell that story. I put it in your belongings where you put papers.
Good rebound, Jana. Good rebound.
Okay, now for the serious note. We are announcing the 2018 Global Media Summit, which is weeks away. Really, it's not weeks away anymore. It is this weekend coming up.
Yes.
April 26th through the 28th at the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center. And you don't want to miss out on this. If you're an author, a speaker, film, television, or radio professional, or if you work in digital media, make attending the Global Media Summit a priority. Be inspired by well-known media experts like award-winning television and film producer Brian Bird, creator of When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark Channel, as well as actress, speaker, and author Nancy Stafford. Dove Award-winning music artist Babby Mason will share her talent. Then each afternoon, informative seminars will provide constructive tools to take you to the next level. The Global Media Summit, don't delay, sign up today. And you sign up by going to gmssummit.com. That's gmssummit.com. I'm going to repeat those letters because I do want you to make it to this. GMSSUMMIT.com. You will be blessed.
Good job, Rose. Thank you for doing that. That is a special summit. It happens every year, and Rosemary has had the awesome opportunity to attend it. I think I'll be able to sneak into a couple of the sessions this year myself, and I'm really looking forward to it. Rosemary also has an announcement for us, because it's not too late, authors, to submit your book to the 2018 Christian Literary Awards.
Yes, we are. We are now accepting entries for the 2018 Christian Literary Awards. We welcome books in a variety of genres, including fiction, nonfiction, poetry, testimonial, devotional, inspirational, and many more. And with a published date of 2016, 17, and 18, deadline for entry is July the 31st. You can submit your entry at joyandcompany.org. We will be delighted to be in the midst of your company, and tickets will be on sale shortly.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Regina, excellent job. You know, you told me the last time we visited on one of your children's books, I think it was, and we talked about the fact that you were stepping into the adult genre. And what an inspirational book this is. One of the stories that I particularly, I loved many of them, all of them actually, but I really liked the story of Papa's Kitchen.
Do you like
yes.
That?
And I like the meaning that the relatedness to it when half matters.
Yes.
Yes. I like it. If you don't mind, just share a little bit about that, but talk more about the half matters.
Okay. My daddy was a chef. And Daddy always said, when you're baking, the half matters. Because in baking, your measurements, they must be exact, or else it's not going to work. And Rose has fallen over because she has baked cake that has fallen flat.
How about up until midnight last night? With this cake, okay?
Yeah,
all right,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes,
anyway.
So
I'm getting her back.
Matters, girl. The half matters. So Daddy was always, and he was all about the presentation, and the presentation must be there. But for the half to matter, in our life, when we are in relationships, whether it's, you know, girlfriends, you know, our friends, our children, people that we work with,
yes.
You know, whether it's our spouse, our the half matters, because if you only go halfway and they don't move, it's not going to work.
Yes,
and vice versa. So it's always about that extra half, that extra step that makes any relationship perfect, or as perfect as you can get it.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, I think, and has been with my relationship with God, because I am the worst about saying, okay, God, I'm giving it to you. 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 And I know God is saying, no, you're not. You know, because that you're not going that half. You're not giving me that half. And so I feel like that when things work for me is when I have truly given it to the Lord and said, this is yours, and you do with it what you want to do. This book is my half that matters.
Aww.
Because it has taken 9 years to get this book to where it is. And to hear... You know, people say it's not going to make it. It's not, you know, it's not in-depth enough. It's not this. It's not that. And all the while, God was saying, prove him wrong.
Yes, and you did.
And I did. And so I'm so proud of this book, and I am working on the second half of this book, because when I started to sit down 9 years ago and write stories, it just, that's the one time I said, take it. Just take it. And I started banging out stories like you wouldn't believe on all kinds of topics.
Yes, you have.
And it ended up being like 40 stories.
Oh, my.
And so my editor, whom I love, said, we can't put all 40 stories together. We need to separate them. And let's put all the personal ones, you know, about family and everyday life and the things that happen to us and the tragedies in our lives, and let's put that in one book. Then let's go the secular route and let's talk about politics and world events and, you know, all these other things that go on and that hit us in the face. So the second one is not quite as touchy-feely, funny, you know, sad, cry. It's a little more hard-hitting. And so I'm in edits on that one right now. So I'm going back through and trying. I need to interject some of this into it. I've got to get a little bit of the humor into it because some of the things are kind of hard. But that's what I'm working on. And that will be my other half. And then I can say, Lord, I did what you asked me to do, and now it's yours, and turn that half over. And so Daddy just always told me, he says, the half always matters. And no matter what you're doing, that half matters, and you've got to take it.
You know, well, I really love that, the half matters, because some of you under the sound of our voices tonight, and you may not be listening right now, you may go out back and be listening to the archive of this show, but you're sitting on something that you're so close to finishing. I just, you know, so very close to finishing it, or you're so close to your victory, but you're tired and you want to give up. Push that extra half mile, because the half matters. You've just got a little bit ways to go, so don't give up. Push, the half matters.
Okay, I'm sorry, Rosemary. I have to know, is the other book, I Have Found My Rose-Colored Glasses?
I'm thinking of that kind of a title. That is in my list. Believe it or not, that is in my list of titles. I haven't settled on a title yet, but yeah. I didn't know if I was going to name it the same thing and do, you know, God's Word, you know, in worldly events. I hadn't decided. But that's one of them.
Rosemary?
Wow, I was just thinking, I had a little bit of nostalgia there as I continue to read about your dad, because you said he liked to bake and the cinnamon rolls and all the yeast rolls and all the butters and everything. And when I read about the yeast roll, I thought about Rose, because between the two of us, we could do a dozen. Six. Between the two of us, six each. She said, let's go get those rolls.
You know, but suck those things down.
I got Rose and I will do that. You know?
My dad would sit there and he'd go, honey, I just took them out and they're gone.
I just took them out. But my brother was a baker, you know, and as I said, a little bit of nostalgia there, because my cousin was coming to visit from the Caribbean to Dallas, and as I said, my brother was a baker, and he actually sent me a bread. He platted that bread with my name, Rosemary. And when she came home, I had to cry. I said, oh, just like when you found the recipe.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes.
Talk about that recipe.
Daddy had just a few recipes. Now, a million cookbooks the man had, but he didn't need them. And so my dad was just famous for his yeast rolls and his cinnamon rolls. And so I just, you know, I have an allergic reaction to baking. I can't. I'm sorry. So anyway, I had always asked Daddy to let me watch him make these things. And he was like, no, get out of my kitchen. He would not let you watch him. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, I'll get it one day. Well, when Daddy died, I was thinking, he never gave me those recipes, you know, and I was just kind of miffed over that because he had not given me those recipes. And not that I would make them, but, you know, I wanted the recipes. So one day, my mother decided that she wanted my aunt's famous 16-layer cake that takes all day to make. So we were looking for the recipe because by that time, Mother was well into her 90s, and she just couldn't, you know, the baking thing. the half matters. She just couldn't get all this together. And so we're looking and we're looking and we're looking and we're looking. And I looked everywhere, and finally I found that recipe. But while I was looking for it, I have a silver box, recipe box that the kids gave me that I just kind of keep, you know. So I'm looking through this thing, and all of a sudden I see these papers that I had never noticed before, and they had like a little tint of yellowish to them. So I knew that they weren't brand new. So I go into here and I reach them, and they're in the very back of this box. And so I go in and I'm reaching in there and I'm pulling out this these papers, and I start to unfold them, and I just get overwhelmed, and I'm thinking, no. And I opened them up, and there were his daddy's recipes, his yeast rolls, his cinnamon rolls, and his spaghetti sauce, and all these things that were just indicative to him. And I'm thinking, when did he do this? And I racked my brain trying to figure out when my dad hid that. I have no idea. But it had to have been years before. You know, one of the times when I said, please, oh, please, oh, please, give me a lesson. You know, and so that's the story of
this. Wow.
I told my best friend today that I wasn't going to share this with anybody. I was going to just,
do it, aren't
but
you?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you, Regina. I'm going to give us a good laugh, and then I'm going to read a serious note from Jana here on the screen. But you're talking about the half, and Rosemary's cracking up because she knows about the half. Joy doesn't know about the half yet.
Okay.
Joy knows that I was fiending for this key lime pound cake
yes.
that I have been fiending for weeks. I decide I'm going to bake it. I got everything, and I get down to the key lime zest.
Yes.
And I realize that I don't have a scraper that I'm tearing in the kitchen to find to scrape the zest.
A zester.
Yes. So I get in my car at midnight.
Yeah.
Running around calling Joy. I got to find something. I got the cake. I'm on my way. I just got to
call me, honey. I've got one.
And I'm like, do you know what time it is?
So I get it. I get in the line at the store, and I get the cashier all excited. She's on her phone looking for the recipe. She said she was going to make it today, and I hope she realized that the half matters. I get the cake. I got it all. I bounce my pan, and I put it in the oven. And I'm like, my cake is on its way. So I decide I'm going to clean dishes, right? So I started cleaning up, and I'm looking at my measuring cups. And I'm like, this is a half cup.
Oh, my God.
I had used a half cup every time it said a cup. So I don't have a key lime pound cake. I got a key lime half cake.
I had planned
I was going to have everybody over. I was going to have them over. We was going to eat cake tonight. We're not eating cake tonight.
You know, God laughs the loudest when we tell him our plans.
Yes, it did. I wanted that cake so bad. That's an expensive cake to be jacking up off of the half.
Yes, ma'am.
The half.
Amazing.
Jana says that often people don't take steps toward their destiny or dreams because they cannot envision making it the whole journey.
Wow.
But if we step out on faith and take that half step, we realize how much taking those steps count, and we can be met by the vehicle to take us to our destination of our purpose and destiny.
Ooh.
Beautiful, Jana, but now you want to laugh at your mama. I see you laugh out loud.
Jana, thank you. That is a great and wonderful comment, and so very true. So yes. Very true. It's, you know, it's witty. We love your writing, Regina, because it always leaves us with a laugh. But more importantly, it leaves us with a great message. So thank you for doing you, and you do it so well. I know this second volume, you're going to find you in those more serious stories, too.
Yes. My editor said, I need to see you in this.
Yeah, good. Says, good job, editor.
She says, I'm seeing you in some of them, but I got to see you in all of them. So yeah. That's what we're working on right now.
And that's what we love. We love you. We love your writing and what have you. Listen, you've been tuned in to The Review with Joy and Company, and we're in our second hour, ready to go. We've been visiting with Regina Stone Matthews, talking about her new book, Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses? It's God's Word in Everyday Life. And I tell you, it is such a good read. It's a very easy read, and it's a rewarding read. It will leave you laughing, smiling, crying, and there's even something in there that makes you want to go, You hit on that when you interviewed your granddaughter, Skye, for president. I loved it.
For president. I tell you what, I can't read that without laughing. Because it is just so funny. My Skye Bitaibi, I just love her to death, and she is 17 now.
Oh, my.
And she was 8 when I interviewed her. And very well read.
Yes.
This was a child who went to bed with books and just lined them up around her body so that when she woke up in the morning, she would have a book in her hand to read.
She's related to me.
I'm telling you, she is. She is. And so when I interviewed her, it was just a hoot. It really was. But I think what I loved about it is her insight. And her caring for others and her wanting to help, but only to help them help themselves. And that kind of came through in everything that she talked about.
It
and
did.
Everything that she said. And I laughed the whole time.
I did too.
Because I wrote down every word she said. Those are her words. I did not write any of that. That was her saying them. And so she's one of my hearts, let me tell you.
Well, I've really come to know your writing style. And as I was reading Skye for President, I said to myself, well, I actually said it out loud. I was like, Regina has not altered this at all. This is out of the mouths of babes. Yes. And if you get it for no other reason, you've got to get this book so you can read the chapter on Skye for President. Now, I'm going to ask that we share no more about it because you have got to read this. It was hilarious, but yet so true. And based on the things that she was saying, hey, she'd get my vote today.
Absolutely. I'm voting for her. She's running.
She would get my vote today. Well, you know what? Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the time, and we've reached a very special time here in the show. Regina, we would not have you come without blessing you with our dear wick, words inspiring change. Listen to this.
Thank you, Joy. The Word of God says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Child of God, what about you? Do you wear rose-colored glasses? If so, do you see it as a gift or a problem? How do you respond to life? How do you think about the issues that takes place in your life? What is your perspective on those issues? Sometimes we realize that rose-colored glasses sometimes keep us from being realistic about sometimes when we go through hard things in life. Work on learning to recognize those glasses because there is a benefit in there. It could be good, or it can either be a hindrance. If you recognize that you're looking at the world or circumstances of life through rose-colored glasses, then you want to learn to look at the world through God's colored glasses. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. There is nothing that you go through that he's not aware of. In spite of our difficulties in understanding his ways and his thoughts, he is always there. His mercy and his promise is to provide for our every need. So until next time, remember that our God is faithful and he promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He cannot and he will not fail you. Trust him. And may God richly bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Rosemary, thank you so very much. Every week you bless our authors with an uncanny word of truth and reality, but mostly love that comes straight from the throne. And I tell you, you hit it when you said, learn to look at the world through God-colored glasses. I love it. There's no pun intended here. Through God-colored glasses. God's looking at you. He's looking at each one of us. And you know what? No matter what you're going through, He's got the answer. He has got the answer. I love this book. Anyone seen my rose-colored glasses? God's word in everyday life. Regina, what is it that you want your audience, readers, to take from Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses?
I really pray, and I want them to come away from this book saying, there is an answer.
Yes. Mm.
All I have to do is go to God's Word, read it, and there's an answer. And it doesn't matter the era. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter. It's there. It's there. And all you have to do is pick up that book and read it. And I promise you, every answer is there. And it's just whatever's going on, you can find it. And that's what I want them to take away. And I want them to laugh.
Yes.
And I want them to remember. I want them to think back at a time when they were going through something and they didn't know what the answer was. You know, they thought, I'm the only one going through this.
Yes.
But you're not. And it's there. So that's what I want them to take away from.
Well, I tell you this. I guarantee that they will laugh. That's a guarantee. Yes. They will laugh.
Well, I can tell you what I'm taking away. The half matters.
Please. Please.
Okay. Well, hope she remembers this the next time she goes a baking.
Okay. I know you're trying to get back at me, Joy. So, okay. I'll let you have
it. I can have this
you
one?
You can have it.
Is it half a cake? Not a pound cake, but a half cake.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
I'm good now. We're even.
Okay. Okay.
A pint cake.
Rosemary, what would you take away from, let's see, Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses?
What would really touch my heart is Emma, and then the little girl in the department store that came up to you and hugged you, and her mother was calling her Emma. You know, so I know it was hard for you.
Yeah,
it was really hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but kudos to you. You did a good job.
One more thing, and it's got to be really quick, but I don't want to leave without it. Because, Regina, your books are always, always so well illustrated. And you've got another great illustrator here in your adult break book.
I was sitting here saying, oh, please ask me about her. Donna Brown is my illustrator and she's the illustrator for the next one that's coming through.
Good.
She did all of these illustrations. She did the cover, and I love her. We came together through God. That I'm just telling you, that's how it happened. And she is an absolute jewel, and I love her.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good job. Tell her I said kudos.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Well, Jana just wants to just become a co-host, I do believe. She's going to end the show with that cake, both halves matter. That was for you, Joy.
Thank you, Jana.
I love you, Jana.
Yes, I'm going to prepare a seat here for you. You've got to come to Dallas and join us one evening. Anything else, ladies?
Blessings.
Well, you know what? It's good because it's that time. It's time for us to get out of here. I've enjoyed both shows. Don't forget to visit us at joyandcompany.org to get your copy of Anyone Seen My Rose-Colored Glasses, God's Word in Everyday Life, written by Regina Stone Matthews. Thank you again, Regina. Ladies, good night. Great week ahead of us. We'll be back next week with a new author and a new book. Until then, may God richly bless you.